Welcome to the Jessica Pennelly Podcast. I am the female coach to empower your mind and teach you how to become confident in your body. Join me on this voice journey as I hold space for you to reconnect back to yourself. Hello and welcome back to the Jessica Pennelly Podcast. I am very excited to bring you this episode. I know I probably say that every time I have a guest, but it's because I generally am fucking excited to bring you a guest, any guest on the podcast, because it just opens up a whole different layer to what I want to share on this platform. And today I'm bringing on a good friend of mine, Heidi Anderson. For those of you that are in Perth, you would know Heidi from when she did a breakfast talk show on the radio, but we just had an amazing conversation and it just opened up so many, I guess, thoughts and understanding and perspectives and epiphanies on the way you can transition out of anxiety and priming your mindset and understanding and being grateful for your body. But before I segue to that interview, I just want to let you all know that next week on the 27th, so it's a Wednesday, it's 6 p.m. Perth time, I am hosting a brand new free masterclass called Rebuild. It is all about consciously rebuilding the relationship with yourself. And we're diving in fucking deep in this masterclass to the point where you will be receiving a workbook. Now, the masterclass is hosted on the Daily Flow, my free Facebook group. So go join if you haven't already. But in order to get that workbook, you do need to register via the link that is in my show notes. It is also in the link in my bio on Instagram as well. And I thought, you know, it would be perfect to give you all a workbook to complement what I'm going to go through in this masterclass because it's a juicy one. But I hope to see you there. It is free. Come enjoy it. I know you'll love it, but I won't make you wait anymore. Without further ado, here is my interview with Heidi Anderson. Okay, hello everyone. I am so excited to bring you this episode with a good friend of mine, Heidi Anderson. And it's going to be a great chat that I know all of you podcast listeners are going to get so much value from. But I'm not going to introduce Heidi. I'm not going to give a rundown because I want her to do it for herself. I've heard Heidi's story and I love where she's come from, and I hope to share a lot more of that in this episode today. So without further ado, here is Heidi Anderson. Hello and welcome to the podcast.
Oh my God, no pressure. Like, that's taking people out of their comfort zone, isn't it? Because it's like people hate talking about themselves. They hate tooting their own horn, but luckily that's what I do. What?
Amazing. So why don't you toot your horn? Who is Heidi Anderson?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, I have just started my own business. I launched it in COVID, and it is coaching women as their hype girl to like get out of their own way. So I'm your business cheerleader. I started like coaching women in like the shed your shit space, which is all about like body empowerment and anxiety and everything, which is what I did when I launched in COVID with a course and all that kind of stuff. But I've actually moved more into the business stuff. And the reason why that is because I've got like 15 years of media experience. So I worked in breakfast radio for 10 years. If you're from Perth, I used to work on 92.9.
Yes.
Bunbury, Western Australia. I did like Hot FM. I worked on NXFM in Newcastle. And I also did a stint in the Big Brother house.
Yes. Heidi has done everything, haven't you?
I've done everyone as well. No, just joking.
Amazing.
Married to Grifo, and I got a beautiful baby boy called Memphis who's 16 months old. Can I just tell you though, I actually went to say that I was a mum first, and there's such a like, and you know, just there's such a thing where people are like, oh, don't just say you're a mum. But then there's also a part of me that goes, no, I'm really proud of that. And I know I'm not just a mum. And you know, everyone isn't just a mum. A mum is like the best fucking job in the world. But I actually stopped myself because, you know, I wanted to champion my other things and not be attached to that identity of a mum. Do you know what I mean? So there's.
Do you feel like you've struggled ever since you've had Memphis? Do you think you've struggled to not just be the identity of a mum, or do you feel guilty if you're like, I'm a businesswoman, I do all of this. Oh, wait, I'm also a mum.
Do you know what it is? I think it's that, like, I don't know what to call myself yet. Being completely honest. Like, when I was working in breakfast radio, I was a radio star. I was a star. I was a presenter, you know. So I, it was real easy for me to say. But now, like, since I've been, you know, and that's why I kind of give a little bit of backstory of the things that I've been doing. Like, I've tested my brand over the last, you know, 16 months. But yeah, like, because I influence on social media. I
hashtag influencer.
Yeah, hashtag influencer, get paid for, you know, vibrators and stuff.
Yes.
That's all about self-love and self-pleasure. But like, I think it was just that I struggled because I was coaching two different areas of women. I run workshops on anxiety. I have a movement called Shed Your Shit, which is about like releasing emotional baggage. But then like I have the business side that I teach all the stuff about how to PR the shit out of yourself with my business and how I got where I am and building a brand and like standing, you know, in your own power and getting out of your own way and showing up in your fucking business as you. So it's kind of like, what do you call yourself? I also have a podcast. I have this, I have that. So that's why I think I struggle. And also I just love being a mom.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like, but I think it's great to embrace that. And I think it breaks the stigma that you can have many identities, if that makes sense. And you don't just have to be stuck and thrown in a box like, okay, you're a mum and yeah, you run your own business. It's like, no, I'm a mum and I'm a fucking businesswoman as well. I am both of these identities just at separate times.
Yes. I love that. And, you know, I'm so glad we're talking about that because I think that was a massive fucking thing for me. And labels as well. Like I hate the fact that I had to call myself a coach or I had to call myself this. Do you know what I mean? Because
yeah,
stuck in a box for years and years and years working in breakfast radio on a commercial radio station, you can't be yourself 100% of the time. I tried really hard to be me, but it's really hard when you've got a boss telling you this, and you've got other people not agreeing, like, you know, in your team, they're like, well, we don't want to talk about that. That's not our opinion and blah, blah, blah. And so you kind of end up not really being yourself. And I was like married to that job. And so I thought that was my baby. And I just loved the vibe of breakfast radio, not necessarily the fucking rules. Like I wouldn't be allowed to say the F-bomb. But I, you know, like I really struggled when I found out I was pregnant to even talk about being pregnant because it meant my whole identity was changing and I was attached to that identity. And what I've realized since becoming a mum is exactly what you said. And I think we don't realize this in so many women, we box women in, is that we do have different identities and we don't, it doesn't mean your identity is you when you have these emotions and all this kind of stuff.
Yes, I couldn't agree anymore, but I kind of want to go back to when you were in breakfast radio because that's when I first found out about you. And for, I should have given a bit of background to everyone. I met Heidi a few years ago. We'd done a talk together. We've gone to a few events together and I'm so, so grateful to have her as a friend, have her in my network and to learn off her as well. She's a big, big inspiration for me. But yes, the first time that I really got to know Heidi was on breakfast radio, and I know that was a huge, huge part of your life. Yeah. So what, like, give us a little rundown. What was it like being on breakfast radio and making the transition? Because yeah, that was your identity, that was who you were for a long time. So how was that transition, and how do you ever miss it?
Oh, it was fucking like a roller coaster, like motherhood. And, you know, like I think like any job as well, I guess why our jobs is so different, like when I worked in breakfast radio, is it public? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, and you're working with people that sometimes you don't necessarily, you know, would hang out with outside of work, but somehow you make great radio together. And so you're thrown in this room, you know, because you might have conflict, you might have this, and you know what I mean? And so it can be really hard, like you ride the emotions. And I think for me, like I came into breakfast radio in Perth. I'd done my stint in Bunbury in Bunbury in Western Australia, and then I did Newcastle, then I went in Big Brother, then I came out and went to Perth. Mm. And I think for me, I still had a lot of social anxiety. I had a lot of anxiety. I had a lot of self-doubt. I had a lot of pressure. And I sometimes people I rubbed people up the wrong way because they maybe didn't quite understand my personality, because all I wanted was to make fucking great radio, Jess, and I wanted to change people's lives. I didn't want to get on a show every day and be like, 13, 10, 60, what's your favorite poop joke? Or did you watch The Bachelor last night? Like, nothing against The Bachelor, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wanted to have real life fucking conversations like we're having now. And so whenever I would push into that area, I would always get fucking pushed back. And so for me, I think, you know, also like when you put yourself out there on breakfast radio every day, like you're out there 5 days a week, 3 hours a day. And when you're me and you're so real and raw and honest all the time, you're vulnerable all of the time. And so I think for me, I became hardened. And
yeah, okay.
And this is all like obviously learnings after, but like, so do you know what I mean? There was times where I'm probably sure I wasn't the easiest person to work with, but then there was times that I was like a super free spirit and fucking fun and all that. And, you know, I doubt many people like do the work that I've done after, do you know what I mean? And the self-reflection and all that. But I had some extraordinary, awesome people that I worked with, and I had some real fucking shit cunts.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can only imagine being in working in media.
Yeah.
But like, how did you feel like you were always, did you think that helped build your confidence on the woman that you've become now? Or did you really struggle having anxiety and speaking out and having to kind of, I guess, like you're saying, you had to hide, I guess, parts of yourself because you couldn't always be real.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, like, you know, that would censor your opinion or this or that or wah, rah, 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 whatever. But I think for me now, looking back, like I was super anxious the first few years and desperate to get where I wanted to be, that sometimes I didn't enjoy the journey, but I was making great radio, I was having fun and all that, but I was still always thinking about the next big thing. And it's probably since I've left now that I'm like, I actually made it. Like I did what I went out to achieve a goal to get to breakfast capital city radio, and I did it.
Yep.
In two years. Most people spend like, you know, 10 years, whatever, in regional, whatever. So I have to really champion everything that I like and remember to champion everything that I achieved, because I think when you're an anxious person, do you know what I mean, and you have that self-doubt, you always think that it probably wasn't good enough and this and that, and you get in your head. And you know, I left at a really vulnerable time. Like I was a brand spanking new mum, and you know, I didn't know like for years that like for years I wanted to be on my like work on my own, but I didn't know how to do it and I didn't know when I was going to do it. And like what I loved about radio is I got to speak to people every single day, like women, you know, and got to talk to them about real stuff, and it was such a broad audience. And I think I was so worried about if I left, like, you know, I wouldn't be able to speak to all these women, I wouldn't be able to connect with them and that kind of thing. Also ego was attached to the fame side, ego was attached to the money side and all that, and also just being in my comfort zone. Do you know what I mean? Like I was in my comfort zone, I was good at it, I knew what I was doing. Like I said, I worked with some really awesome people, some not so great, but I stayed in my comfort zone. And so when I left, I was, like I said, I was so fucking vulnerable and wild, but something, just my intuition was telling me I needed to take this leap. And if it wasn't for Memphis, I don't think I would have.
You know? Yeah, exactly. So what was the transition of your mindset? Because you said, you know, you made this huge leap in the media industry within 2 years and you were feeling anxious, you were feeling vulnerable then. And then you had this other huge leap where you had Memphis and it's like, okay, fuck, I'm going to actually leave breakfast radio. So I think that's been a huge part of me for the X amount of years. But how did you prime your mindset? Because I think there's a big distinction between people who are like, yes, I'm really fucking scared to do this thing, but I'm going to stay here, compared to people that are like, yeah, I'm fucking scared, but let's actually do it.
Yeah. And like, you know, I'm not going to lie, when I took that leap to actually even get into radio, I was leaving London. Like I was working in public relations in London. I'd been there for 4 years traveling all around with my friends, and to even get into radio, I took a massive leap of moving home and like trying to get into the Australian Film Television Radio School. And I think like underneath all of that, like my mum and dad never made me and my brother They never pushed us to be high achievers, but we are. And, you know, they're both business people and stuff. And I think maybe underneath it all, like, and this is probably me unpacking this with you right now, like I'm sitting in my psychologist's office.
yes, unpack.
Is that, like, I guess I've always just believed that no matter what I do, I know I'll be successful. Even though, like, now me saying that, like, sometimes I have all this self-doubt and all this bullshit, but maybe underneath that's what I really know, that I'll be okay, because I've always been okay, you know?
Yeah, I think that's very important. I think what we tend to, this is something I've noticed within myself and people around me, is that we tend to gravitate to, like, okay, fuck, this is really hard, maybe I shouldn't do it. But we don't often reflect on, like, okay, but I thought this 2 years ago in a circumstance and here I am. Yeah. I fucking made it.
Yeah. So, like, I think obviously that must have been, and, like, because I remember even when I was standing in Warrnambool in Victoria and all I wanted was breakfast radio, and I'd got this afternoon shift and I was devastated. And I remember telling these girls that were in the breakfast show, I was like, I will have my own breakfast show. Like, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to be one of the next big things, like, blah, blah, blah. Yes. And I would talk like that. And then I think actually going on Big Brother, working in breakfast radio and all that, being out in the public eye, having that vulnerability, that is when I started, my light started to dim. And so, do you know what I mean? Like, and people would say things and then my anxiety would get worse. And then so you'd harden or whatever. And so I didn't connect with people. Like, I did on a radio show, but I didn't connect with people as well off air, because I was so fucking beaten, you know, like my energy was so low and everything. So I think, like, you know, with all my reflection and all, oh fuck, now I can't even remember what I was blabbering on about because I was so fucking deep in it. I was like, what is my actual point here? Yeah. Now I think I was trying to get to anxiety high. this is like mum brain 101 or Heidi Anderson scatter ADD, squirrel brain, I think some people like to call it.
Amazing, mum brain. We'll blame it on the mum brain. But no, that's interesting. So you, okay, so Big Brother, breakfast radio, you felt like you were, you know, hardened by everything. But how, like, what was it, the self-talk? Did you have a certain, like, personal routine or what you would do to kind of keep you in the frame of mind to think, okay, fuck, I can still do this?
Oh, I think I just kept pushing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that was the big thing. It's only been the last few years that, so I spoke openly about my anxiety in 2015, and I didn't even know that I had anxiety. I think that's where I was trying to go with that when I got squirrel brain. But I, like, with my anxiety, I didn't really understand it, so I didn't have, like, tools in place. Do you know what I mean? But whereas now I have tools in place. I have things that I do to, like, set me up in the morning, like, as a businesswoman, as a person who struggles with anxiety. I'm open to talking about it. I share my struggles. I don't let my thoughts overpower me for too long now. Of course, I'm like everyone else. I have self-doubt. My ego plays up, blah, blah, blah. You know, all my little voices, like comparison Cassie, anxious Annie, you know, like, they come out, but I know how to handle them now. And I think a big thing for me has been awareness and understanding. And, you know, that awareness has come from, like, educating myself, like, understanding my anxiety. What is it? Understanding me, that I'm not my mental illness. I'm not my mental health. So sometimes when I behave the way that I do or have done or whatever, that's not a cop-out either. It's like not beating myself up for the way that I might have been, which was a big thing for me. Like, you know, a big thing for me is punching the shit out of myself if I've done something wrong or not been perfect. And, like, you know, for me even to have squirrel brain before, if I did that on the radio, I would have beaten myself up for days, being like, what a fucking idiot. Can't believe I said this. Da, 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 da. Like, and, you know, you get stuck on the vicious merry-go-round. So I think embracing who I am and literally just rocking up in my everyday life as me, whether I've put on 10 kilos, whether, you know, like, I've just fucked up my launch of a program or, you know, like, said something dumb on social media or in a conversation, I don't beat myself up anymore and I don't rock up and try and be perfect. You know,
I love that. And I think that's such an important message, because I think we are hardest on not the people we love, but ourselves. And we forget to often give ourselves permissions to be able to go through these shit times that actually build our character and build trust within ourselves, because it gives us feedback. It teaches us, like, okay, who do we want to be? Or what do we want to bring awareness around?
Yeah.
And I like that you mentioned that you, and I want to talk about it, you didn't actually realize that you had anxiety.
No.
So, and I think it's, I like it because I love that you can have the awareness now and you can kind of pinpoint and you've built as a person to get to this point. But where was the point where you're like, okay, fuck, this is actually anxiety and this is what I've been for a long time?
Well, so I was actually, the crazy thing was, I was actually diagnosed with anxiety in 2009 when I came home from overseas, because I'd taken way too many drugs. I was in a high-pressure job in PR. I put all that pressure on myself, blah, blah, blah. I came home and, like, you know, all the things that I was doing, drugs, alcohol, sex, wasn't really helping with my anxiety, and I was diagnosed. But I thought, and this just even shows me now, like, how little I knew about myself and how unaware I was and how I was just numbing myself all the time. I thought that I was fixed after like 10 sessions with a psychologist. Yeah. And I didn't put any self-care practices in place. I was still eating shit. I was still partying, sex, drugs, hooking up with like dumb guys, like, you know, that treated me like shit, had no self-respect or love for myself. And because I didn't understand my anxiety. So when I first realized that I had, so I thought I was fixed. I was like, yeah, done the 10 sessions. Like, I'm fixed. I'm fine. And then it like played into my life a lot. But I didn't realize, Jess, that, you know, these millions of thoughts and me not being able to let go of thoughts and staying up at nighttime and thinking about what I'd said on the radio, like when I was in Bunbury, and not being able to go to the pub on a Friday night because of the way that I saw myself in the mirror. And, you know, I'd be so pissed sometimes, and all my friends would go and leave me because I couldn't decide what to wear. I didn't know that was anxiety, and I thought other people like that. I just thought I was like more vocal about it. Do you know what I mean? So I didn't realize that I had these things going on. And then it wasn't until, I decided, I met an awesome boss of mine. Her name's Amanda Lee. I speak about her a lot. And we actually didn't really, I don't think, love each other at first, because we didn't really understand each other. But she kind of pushed me into understanding my anxiety and talking about it more so that she could as well. And that was kind of when I was like, oh, fuck. Like, it was like I had to say it out loud. Like, I actually have anxiety by the way that I've been behaving. Someone else has seen it, like, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that's when I decided to speak about it on the radio. And that literally moment changed my life. So that was 2015. I wrote a page in Perth Now all about my anxiety, how it felt. And we got inundated with phone calls. People messaged me from all over the world because they shared it on social media. It went viral. And it was me just literally talking about what it feels like in my head and, you know, what it feels like in my body, like the way my body reacts when I'm anxious. And it literally, like I said, changed my life because, one, I still talk about it today and it means that I'm open to it, but it took the power away. So I wasn't hiding.
Yes,
so for so long I was hiding all these thoughts. I was hiding all this stuff. Close friends and that around me knew. But, you know, they're not going to label you or whatever. And then, you know, since then I've now started a business where I coach women. I started a Shed Your Shit movement. I understood myself. So I put self-care and self-love practices into place and started to understand my self-love journey and all that kind of stuff. Whereas when I didn't know about my anxiety or didn't understand, I treated myself like shit. So, you know, I fully changed my whole entire life, and Griffo now understands anxiety. We know what it's like. You know, I have conversations. Like the other day, just I had a moment of social anxiety and I did something really silly when I was with my mum and my dad. And then afterwards, I was like, when I came back to earth, I just said, oh, I'm really sorry about that. Like, that was obviously just my anxiety. Like, I realize that now. It was like that moment, like we went to go down the beach at Mullaloo Beach here in Perth, and there was heaps of people, and I fully was like, no, we can't go there. We'll have to go up here. And like, didn't even have a conversation about it. My anxiety put me in fight or flight, and I was off. And then I got to the next place, and it was so much more hard to go for a swim and this and that. I go, oh, why don't we just go back there and I'll just put the pram on the side and blah, blah, blah. But in that moment, my social anxiety overtook me and I was out of there. But I can have the conversation and the realization with my mum and dad now. I never used to be able to do that. And that, my friends, for people who are suffering and don't talk about it, is what it's like to not have it overpower you and people understand you.
I honestly have goosebumps listening to you. I'm like tearing up. I think this is so beautiful, Heidi. And I think it's like we constantly need to be reminded like of the hashtag real talk of anxiety, because I think it's often just like, oh yeah, you know, I'm feeling like blah, or like, you know, just the surface level shit. But I think it's so important to dive in deep, because so many people feel like this. And what you said really resonated with me is like, it doesn't have power over you. And even if momentarily it may have power over you, you're able to recognize and be like, okay, fuck no, anxiety is not me, and I can overrule this because I have control over my mind and over my body.
Yeah.
And I think it was what you said earlier too. I think it's important to note that we often kind of, what's the word, mask or band-aid anxiety with actions. And like you said, you were away and you were drinking a lot, doing a lot of drugs, having a lot of sex. And I just want to kind of get your frame of mind in that, like when you were doing all that, did you actually feel good doing all that in that moment? Or did you come out of it and be like, okay, fuck, why do I keep having so much sex? Or why am I taking so much drugs?
I'm not going to lie. Like, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it was the aftermath for me.
Mm, yeah.
So it gave me confidence. And so I always used to say when I was through my healing journey, I want to be who Heidi is when she's drunk. Because she doesn't give a fuck what people think of her. She doesn't give a fuck about someone judging her. She doesn't give a fuck. Like, she's not an arrogant asshole. Like, I mean, she definitely did be an asshole sometimes. But what I'm saying is I loved that funness and freeness about her, and the, you know, and so I would say that when I was healing, and that's who I am now. I love, you know, I don't need to drink and get drunk all the time or take drugs to be fun. Yeah, sure, maybe I don't do as wild as stuff, but I'm still pretty fucking wild if you follow me on Instagram.
Yes. I am going to be leaving all of Heidi's socials. Please go follow her because her stories are the best.
So I am still pretty wild. I mean, I'm definitely not like Heidi overseas, but it was probably more the aftermath. So in the moment, like when I was in the moment, like I'd have so much fun and it wasn't fake. I probably just was juiced up a little bit more, you know, alcohol or drugs or whatever. But even when I was having sex, sometimes I was fucking great. Like, I would sit there and like slut shame myself because I've been through that.
No way. I feel like this is such a stigma we need to like break down. Like, regardless of what you're going through or like whatever, like if you want to go have sex with as many people as you want, go for it.
Yeah.
If that makes you feel good, go for it.
Exactly. And like, I guess for me, what the awareness that I have now is that, yes, I had fun doing all that. The aftermath sucked because I had anxiety. I felt like a worthless piece of shit when the guy wouldn't message me back and blah, 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 all this stuff. So in the moment I was having fun, what I didn't realize when I was having sex with those guys is that I was craving this love that I wasn't giving myself. So now I know that, like, I probably wouldn't go out and fuck as many guys you know what I mean? Maybe not as many fuck boys, like maybe not as many of the dickheads. Maybe I would have actually fucked some nice guys.
I think it's always like you got to think about like what are your intentions going into this, because like where you were at, you were doing it, but like hindsight's a beautiful thing because you did realize, okay, I was seeking love outside of myself. I wasn't full. I didn't feel full and complete within myself. And so I was seeking that out elsewhere.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like, and so it all contributed to my anxiety in some way. Sometimes I think like with alcohol and drugs and sex and all that, like that numbs our anxiety, and it does. It brings us into what we feel is the moment. And you know, it can feel really great, but like having suffered for a long time and knowing like, you know, when I was going through my dark days, even in 2015, when I was on breakfast radio, having panic attacks and all that kind of stuff, I would drink like a bowl of wine in the afternoon, sometimes with Griffo, just to like take away the pain of like the shit that I was feeling or going through or whatever. I would wake up and feel like 10 times worse the next day. So I knew that it was only masking so much of it. And you know, don't get me wrong, even now as a mum, Jess, like this is something like, you know, sometimes I haven't put my self-care or self-love first, even though I try and get up nearly every single day at breakfast radio hours, do my meditation, do my gratitude journal and all that kind of stuff. But even now, sometimes if I get to the end of the day, like I just want to have a wine to like literally wind down and like tune out. And so, you know, I'm still not perfect and I think I'm becoming more okay with that. And it's like removing the shame and the guilt. And that has been a big thing. I think like with anxious people, like we're fucking so guilty and we feel so much shame and then we beat ourselves up and it's like this vicious merry-go-round going round and round and round. So I think like being able to, the work that I've done and like anyone can do it. Like it's just becoming aware, educating yourself, finding people that, you know, that you resonates with you and all that kind of stuff. But like, we can still have these little vices every now and then. Like, do you know what I mean?
I think that's really important. And I was just kind of like reflecting on my own personal development, I guess, journey over the past couple of years. And I think a big thing that I have also been working on is getting rid of the shame when something doesn't go to plan, when you, you know, you miss a couple of days of working out, or, you know, you're eating food that isn't the most nutritious for your body, or you skipped a few days of journaling. And I think, like, ask me this question probably 2 years ago, I'd probably be super hard on myself and be like, what the fuck? Like, you're trying to get into a good routine, trying to get into a good mindset. But now I'm more forgiving and I kind of look at, okay, but why am I reacting in this way? Why am I behaving in this way? Am I even feeling aligned with journaling anymore? Do I need to change up my workout routine? Is that boring to me now?
Yeah.
So I think like you said, it always comes back, which is a practice in itself, to self-awareness and just really reflecting on what is working for you at any given point in moment. And to remember when you look back and you have hindsight, is like you were doing the best you can with what you have at any given moment.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Like 100%. And I think that's what we forget. And like even, you know, me, like I think stepping out of the radio bubble, I think I'd become so like, oh, I hated, you know, the constructive feedback and all that kind of stuff because I felt so sensitive to it. And then now stepping into my business, I've had to give myself feedback.
Yeah.
You know, I've actually loved it because I've learned so much about myself and understood myself. And, you know, like I think I would be a totally different broadcaster now to who I was. Not that there was anything wrong with who I was before. I loved who I was, you know, but I would just have so, because I've just had that whole other element of like being in business on yourself and the hard, how fucking hard it is.
Yeah, it's fucking hard.
It's fucking long. Like, hear, hear to all these motherfuckers that have been doing it for years. Like, this has been, I launched my business in COVID and, you know, and with a new baby.
Yeah,
like,
fuck.
Yeah, and it was fucking hectic and I've had some crazy moments, but I think the biggest thing that I've learned since being like a businesswoman and, you know, coaching other women is like, if I just keep showing up as me and not fucking trying to be perfect and not trying to be this perfect person. And, you know, because I think as anxious people we do, we try and fix it. We try and be perfect. We try and this and that. But, like, my business has given me the power to not worry about that. And now I'm empowering other women to do the same.
Yes, I love that. And I actually had a question because I actually get this question quite a lot. And I don't know if you do, but one of the questions I always get about my Instagram, because I'm like you, and I think I've developed over the past few months to be a lot more, not authentic, I've always been authentic, but just a bit more myself, like, you know, not give a fuck within reason. And yeah. I always get the question, like, but do you get scared of what people are going to think or what you're going to say? And like, I've had people comment on like, oh, like you swear on your stories. And I'm like, yeah, because I swear in real life. That's how I talk. Oh. And like, I've kind of developed this like backbone where I don't really care, but sometimes I get it and I'm like, should I care? It kind of makes you like second guess. Like, do you get that?
Not really anymore. And you know, I think, but like, you got to remember I've had years of experience with this, of working in the public eye and then going into Big Brother and then, you know, having a profile on, you know, on socials and that kind of thing. But I think, don't get me wrong, like if someone says something negative, then I do sometimes go like, oh, hits me in the pain point. But then I go like, ah, oh, fuck it. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
delete, block if it's or like, you know, if it's not a comment that needs to be done like that. But I guess for me, what I kind of say, because a lot of my clients get that they don't want to show up on their social media or in their business fully as themselves because they're worried more about like what their family and friends are going to say. And I always say, yes, fuck what your family and friends are going to say. They're not the ones buying from you. They're not the ones
paying
the fucking bills. You know, everyone else is paying your bills and not everyone is going to like us. And that's something that I've realized, something I've also had to work through my ego with being a people pleaser and wanting to be really liked, is that I don't like everyone. I actually, and that doesn't mean I'm a fucking asshole to them. I'm still a kind, good person. So I have to just remind myself of that. It's okay not to like everyone. You just don't have to be an asshole to them.
Like, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like, you know, you can, yeah, you don't have to like everyone. And I think it's important to note, like, yeah, you can't possibly like everyone, which means you can't have the expectation that everyone that comes into your life in whatever shape or form is going to like you. I think that's a ridiculous expectation. But it's so true on the business point too. And that's one thing I realized in my first year of business is that your friends and family are not the ones buying from you. And mm-hmm. I've actually said to some friends in the past, like, if you don't like what I put up, like, either unfollow me or mute me because my content is not for you.
Yeah, like, you're not the one that I'm talking to. You know, not one of my friends ever comments on any of my stuff. Like, that's the honest truth. They don't. They know me. They see me in a different light. They can text me, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. So, you know, like, they don't, that's not who they are. I've built my tribe and my squad to be people that love me, that get me, and I'm exactly the same. The feeling's mutual. Like, so, you know, I kind of live by the 80-20 rule, and this is what I say to people, right? So 80% of the time I do not give a fuck what people think. So I'm not giving my power away to someone on the beach. You know, if I'm wearing a bikini, fuck, who gives a shit if they don't like me in my bikini? Who cares? I'm probably never going to see them again.
Yes, amen.
It doesn't matter what they think. If my belly's hanging out, I've got cellulite, who gives a fuck? If I'm comfortable and having fun with my son, then who gives a shit? You know, it's kind of like on social media as well. If I'm not filtered and this, and you would know, I never use filters. Like, it's just not my brand. It's not who I am, you know? I show up whatever I fucking look like. If you don't like it, or if you want to judge me for that, or if you're not going to like me because I don't do this and that, rah, 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 you're not my person. I don't
fuck. Yeah.
You know? And then the 20%, I always say, like, I save my fucks for people that matter. And, you know, I got that from, like, reading the books, like, How to Not Give a Fuck, The Magical Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Like, you know.
Yeah, great book.
Empowered me. And, you know, having worked in radio, I had to kind of, like I said, go that kind of way. So it does take time. It doesn't happen overnight. But if you can start to release the power that other people have over you, like, it's so enlightening, so freeing. You know, I walked through a shopping center in my bra and undies with a bunch of women saying up yours to beauty standards, people's beliefs, people's opinions. And we just said, fuck you, because we didn't want their power anymore. You know, what was uncomfortable for me was getting a photo shoot on, you know, the beach in the past, even just my swimmers. But now I can walk through a shopping center and actually not care what someone thinks of me, because at the end of the day, I'm not going home to them. At the end of the day, the people on social media, like, you know, we're like, I'm surrounding myself with people that I love, you know? So I don't really care if you don't like me. At the end of the day, like, does it really matter what people think, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, you know?
Yeah, that's an important lesson for everyone. And I think, like, not to just be aware, like, yeah, who are you giving power over yourself to? Who are you giving that away? Like, who, what control? Like, are you controlling yourself? Are you in standing in your own power, or are you giving that to someone else? And I think, you know, everyone can learn from that, and everyone can think of it, because we've all been in that, in a situation where we've given our power to someone else. But we want to blame externally, we want to blame other people, but at the end of the day, it's our own choice, right?
Yeah, and I think what I was trying to say is, like, when you're doing that, you're handing over your happiness to someone else.
Yes,
like,
yes.
You're putting them in the driver's seat of your happiness. Now, fuck that. Like, yes. I don't want other people to control whether I'm happy or sad or this or that. It's the same reason why I've thrown bloody scales out. Like, do you know what I mean? That's another thing that controls tells you. So, like, just stop giving your power away. Like, it's that simple. And just save those fucks for the right people. Because if you're constantly giving them away to everyone else, you're being a people pleaser. You're, you know, you're not being authentic. You're not being real. You're not being honest.
And I think it's really good to look at, like, in your life, like, who are the people you were trying to please and why?
Yeah.
And is it the right people? Like you said, living by the 80-20 rule, like, is it people that actually matter, or is it people that don't actually fucking, like, have any idea about your life?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, right? Like, who, like, the guy on the beach, if he's judging you for having, like, a flabby stomach, like, does he know what your, why your stomach's flabby? I mean, one, you might like food, good on you, and you love yourself. Two, it might be that you might have issues, you might have this. Like, so if you're constantly, like, do you know what I mean, doing something, relying on, like, whatever someone else's opinion is, you're just going to be a miserable person and, like,
yes,
you're not going to be living your true, happy, authentic life, you know? Like, you get one life. That was the biggest eye-opener for me with having Memphis, even though I'd lost people in my life. And, you know, Jess, you know, from you, like, losing your mom and stuff, like, you literally get one fucking chance. That's it. And then,
but I don't think people take that seriously, because, you know, I've had conversations over the years, and, like, that's one thing, even though, so this year would be the 10th anniversary of losing my mum, and I don't think it's been until, like, the last maybe 5 years where I've really understood, like, okay, fuck, life is precious, life is short, and right now you get one fucking life. And I think that's literally, and I know you live it the same too, Heidi, like, that's how I live my life now. I'm like, I do not ever want to get to a point where I'm, let's say, when I turn 40 and I'm like, fuck, why didn't I just take that chance? Like, I think all the time, I'm like, imagine if I didn't just take the chance and move over to Bali. Like, I was second guessing myself, doubting myself. Imagine me getting to 40 and being like, fuck, I just wish when I was 27, I just did that for a year.
Yeah.
Like, I would hate to get there. And, you know, there's so many people that, like, have this mentality, and it actually upsets me, because I'm like, don't have that mentality. Don't live in that fear. And people even say to me, and, like, you know, you can resonate with this now too, high. It's like, people are like, wow, like, you have your own business. Like, you get to, like, set up your day as you want. You can go for a coffee at 9. Like, I wish. And I'm like, fucking do it.
Yeah.
Like, fucking do it.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the biggest thing that I, like, coach people in with, how to PR the shit out of yourself, is I believe in you. Now you just got to believe in yourself. Like, you know, anything is possible. That is, like, such a big thing that people, like, you know, they cock block themselves all the time.
Yes, they do. And I think it's because people get, a lot of the time I hear is people are like, oh, I'm scared of failing. And I'm like, I fucking love failure, because I learn from that. I'm like, all right, well, this direction didn't work, so let's go the other direction. And I got that feedback. I didn't instead, you know, in 3 years' time be like, fuck, maybe I should have just tried right now. And, you know, that's the thing I notice with people is fear of failure and fearing or what other people think. But there's so many people that just don't, that I've seen in my own personal life, you know, not just on socials, but wish for a better job or wish for a better life or a better house or a better income or whatever it may be, but don't put in the work, or they get too scared, or they think, okay, fuck, you know, I have this big dream for my life, but I just don't think I can reach that. Like, that's just unattainable. Whereas I'm like, fuck no, dream big. Like, how can I dream bigger today?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And, you know, like, I only actually wrote about it this morning. I go to the beach every morning now and I swim in the ocean, like, not laps or anything, but, you know, just go in, have a dip.
Amazing.
Mum plays with little Memphi and me and Dad go in for a quick dip. Like, never in my wildest dreams would I have done that before, because I was always so scared of sharks. But I'm like, fear keeps you stuck.
Yes.
You so stuck because of all these bullshit lies that you tell yourself daily. And that's what I want to remind people, the things that you're telling yourself, they're ultimately lies, you know, like, I think, is it like 70,000 thoughts a day? And most of them sit in your subconscious and you don't even know you're saying them. And they're from all this, you know, past stuff where you've fed yourself all these bullshit lies your entire life, or magazines and this and that have told you all these things, and even news sites and all that. They, like, fear is just instilled in us all the time, and you're your own biggest fear monger.
Yes, and, like, that, this is the big thing, is, like, everything is, like, on a subconscious level. And one thing, you mentioned it actually early, and it's just reminded me, because I want to speak about this, self-talk is so very important. And I don't think, I look back to my 20s, I look back to when I was a teenager, and I didn't realize the impact that what you say to yourself actually has on yourself consciously, but then on a subconscious level when it plays out in relationships, or it plays out in big decisions in life. And, you know, how have you transformed the way you talk to yourself, Heidi?
Oh my God. Like, you know, I used to call myself a fat fuck, a disgusting fat cunt, like some of the most horrific things, like, you know, you're worthless, you're disgusting, like no one will ever be with you, you fat fuck, rah, rah, like all the time I would speak about myself like that. Now I might say something like that once every blue moon, like, you know, because sometimes my weight fluctuates, especially when I stopped breastfeeding, I put on weight. I don't weigh myself, so I don't know, but just physically I know that I put on weight because clothes don't fit as well, blah, 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 COVID, we had a world pandemic. Sometimes I'll see that negative guy creep in and, you know, the negative Nelly come on in, but I know how to stop it now because I'm aware of her. So a lot of people don't even realize the stuff that they're saying to themselves. But I think for me, the most powerful transformational moment for me was when I had Memphi in my belly. I was 30 weeks pregnant. I was standing on our baby moon on the beach in Broome, and I'd never worn a bikini before. Actually, lie, wore a bikini once on Instagram just to get likes when I'd lost heaps of weight.
Amazing.
But I wasn't comfortable in it. I hated my in it. And my girlfriend was like, you should wear a bikini. Like, you're 30 weeks pregnant. And I was like, fuck, oh, my God. She's like, look at all the work you've done now.
Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine doing that. Anyway, I went that day, bought a $20, like, black bikini from Kmart. When I got up to Broome, like, those negative voices started peeking through, right? And I remember putting my hands on my belly and I connected. I didn't know I was having a boy. All I knew is that I was having a baby. And I put my hands on my belly and I was like, fuck, you cannot speak to yourself like this anymore, because you are passing it on to someone else and it needs to stop. I don't want him or her to grow up thinking the things that you've said about yourself and actually then believing them and going through all the shit that I went through, taking 35 years to get to where I am now, that I don't give a fuck what people think, you know, that I'm happy with the body that I've been given. Yeah, sure, I probably could lose a little bit of weight at the moment because, you know, I haven't been looking after myself 100% of the time, but I actually love myself now. And so it comes from a different place of, you know, that. And like, I got so caught up for years just beating the shit out of myself for the way that I looked. And I was like, I don't want to pass this on to my baby. I can't pass this on to my baby. And so it was literally in that moment I felt this huge shift. Like, don't get me wrong, I'd been doing the work, but that was one of the most powerful moments for me. And I pretty much live in a bikini since that moment. Like, even after I had Memph, I got straight back in my bikini. And I get messages from mums all the time saying, like, oh, I can't wear my bikini, I don't have the same body, this, that. And I'm like, no, fuck that. Your baby is only going to be this small for soon. Yeah. Like this, like I said, I ain't got a six pack. I ain't even got the belly that I had, like, when I was breastfeeding. I haven't got the belly that I had when I was, like, you know, the thinnest I ever was in my life. I was probably healthier at other times in my life. But right now I'm having fun with my son on the beach and I'm going to wear a bikini. And, you know, I'm not going to focus on how many rolls I've got or my C-section scar or the cellulite or anything like that, because I don't want to pass that on to him. Like, he's been my biggest teacher. And I remember after I had him, I was like 3 weeks postpartum. They put this photo in the paper actually, and they were like, it's up on my vision board. It's like, why this image is so important. And it was literally.
Oh, yes, I know which one. Yeah.
Well, it was me with my belly hanging.
Yeah.
And I was 6 weeks postpartum. And let me tell you, I look fucking good. Now I look at that, I'm like, fuck, you look good, damn girl.
Yes, you do.
But I love the way that my tummy is because I'd just given birth, for God's sake. And I had this C-section scar, but the negative Nelly in me looked in the mirror that day and I was like about to start talking shit to myself. And I remember, and this is how people can start to change their thoughts and change the story. So as soon as you have these thoughts, you can change it. And I remember looking in the mirror and being like, no, you won't, negative Nelly. I remember I wrote a letter to Memphis, and that was how I was like, that's how I'm going to talk to my tummy. Like, this was his first home. Like, he lived in my belly. Like, and then he got taken out with that scar. I don't want that scar to ever disappear. I don't want that overhang to ever disappear, that dimple down there, because literally that is my pride and joy that I carried him in my stomach, and I was lucky enough to carry him in my stomach. You know, I grew his fingernails. I grew his toes. I grew his little nose. I grew his hair. I grew his fucking heart.
Oh my God, you're making me clucky. Stop.
You know, and I think that's what we have to remember. Like, the body is so fucking powerful. Whether you choose to have children or you don't choose to have children or you can't have children, like, our bodies are so powerful, you know, like, it keeps our heartbeats every single day. Our arms, like, you know, hug our partners, our babies, our friends, like, fuck, get over the bullshit shit you've been telling yourself for life and just start to live from a place like that. And, you know, if you can become aware of those thoughts and then start to change it with, like, positive stories, like, you know, and work out where those fucking bullshit lies have come from, which most of them have been marketed to you by diet companies and all that kind of stuff, you start to realize that, yeah, there's so much more to life, and it's so important to just fucking love yourself.
Yeah, I think this is an important reminder that our body does so fucking much for us. I mean, like, obviously, I haven't been pregnant. I haven't had the pleasure or, you know, opportunity to have a baby as of yet, and I hope one day I am able to. But, like, even, you know, I felt like I could connect with that so much, and just understanding that we have – our bodies are capable of so much. And I think that was so beautiful what you said, and a big, big understanding of what we are capable of as human beings, and to really just, yeah, fucking watch – what you're saying to yourself, fucking watch the stories that you're telling to yourself every day, because they play out subconsciously, and they bring you down, and they bring you into a darkness that you don't need to be in.
Yeah, 100%, 150%. Like, I just, and you know, some people might be like, yeah, but I'll never get there. And you know, this, you're cock blocking yourself right now. You have an excuse. Like, you're literally the only issue. That is like, and that, like, fuck, like, that will probably trigger people that, nah, fucking this person is the issue. No, you are your own biggest problem, and it's your, you know, it's your mind and stuff. And if you can become friends with your mind and start to do mind cleanses and social media cleanses and all that, I'm saying cleanses, then you would, like, you know, your mind is so much more important and better than a fucking juice cleanse.
Yeah, I fucking couldn't agree anymore. Mind detox and a social media detox, which,
oh, good for the soul.
Yeah, it's so good. You know, with my own social media, I like to take a big chunk of Sundays, if not most of Sundays, off social media. I regularly, every couple of months, go through who I'm following to see if, you know, someone's still aligning with me. Do you do that type of stuff too, Hives? Because yeah, you're on social media, yeah, as much as me.
So I went off socials like for 5 days at Christmas time, like, the year before it was like 2 weeks. Like, I literally, when we were on our honeymoon, I turned my phone off completely for 2 whole weeks.
And I love that.
I do that, like, literally when I get off the phone to get off the podcast to yours, like, the phone, I'm gonna turn my phone off, and I'm gonna have like 2 hours off my phone before I go to a PT, and, you know, just literally be in the moment. Like, I'm going to go have a swim, I'm going to read a book, and I'm going to have some downtime. And that to me is really important, like, just switching my phone off. So although you might think I'm on socials all the time, yeah, I'm always posting stories and this and that, I do have time away from my phone. I have healthy boundaries, but that also means that then I can have healthier relationship with social media, because, like, it's a powerhouse. I love it. But it also,
yes,
you know, it also is extremely addictive. And every time you go to look at your phone, you know, for a time, you're like, oh, I'll just quickly see if I've got any messages on Instagram or this or that, you know, then all.
I know, it sucks you in, doesn't it? And even, like, over Christmas, I had, I think it was actually close to 2 weeks where I didn't actually show up and speak on my stories. I would share the odd post, but I didn't actually get on my stories and speak, because I was like, I need a break. Like, it can be so emotionally and mentally draining. And I was like, I cannot, if I'm showing up right now, I'm going to be fucking fake. Like, and I never want to do that on my social media ever. So I was like, you know what? I need that. And it was one of the best things that I did, was to just not show up and, like, not feel that I had to.
Yeah, 100%. I love that. And I'm the same. And, you know, one of the things I teach in how to PR the shit out of yourself is to show up on socials as you and all that kind of stuff. But I'm all about boundaries, massive boundaries. And, you know, that can be massive thanks to Brené Brown.
Yes.
You know, I love her. She's so awesome. And, you know, she taught me a lot about boundaries. And I think I've learned a lot about that in my business as well.
Yeah, me too. I think hitting my first year in business the past December, I think that's one thing that I definitely had an awareness of when it came to my personal relationships. But business is a whole other game plan. Like at the start, I was constantly available and I was always there and, you know, just drop anything. I'd see an email come through and I'd be like, oh, fuck, I've got to respond to this email straight away. Now I have dedicated days where I'm responding actively to DMs and responding to emails, and it's just so much better mentally for me.
Yes, I love that. That's great insights.
With your first year in business, what do you think has been your top three struggles starting your own business? Not even a year yet, really.
No, it's not a year. It's crazy. Probably firstly was like my mindset around money was like a big struggle for me. And like, you know, having gone from being the breadwinner, like working a breakfast radio job, I made a good pay packet. And then not having that taken away, and then feeling like the pressure to like, because with our family, we still had bills, you know. And when I decided not to go back, then that was a big struggle for me. So like the pressure, like I'd put on myself to make money. And then probably just like limiting old beliefs that came through from like my radio days, like certain things around numbers. And, you know, like I had 2,500 people sign up to my first free challenge, which is
amazing.
Insane. And then I had 88 people buy my program. That's insane. But because I was like, well, but I don't, and this is only something that's come through for me in the last couple of days, launching something again now. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't want to tell people like how many people afterwards, because I'm like, not many people bought the program, not many people turned, because, you know, people just signed up to my free thing and then didn't even turn up. And
yeah.
So I didn't realize that. That's what happens when you offer free stuff, that a lot of people don't show up. So I had a lot of like, you know, things about radio, like to do with numbers, like we were always surveyed, you've got to make this number, this is how many people should be following you, da da da. Like, so probably like limiting beliefs, the money again would fall into like mindset and limiting beliefs, and then probably just for me like finding balance. And
yeah,
you know, like that's still something that I even, you know, that's why I've got to create a little bit of space and time this afternoon. But trying to find, you know, because I could keep going, like my to-do list, I'm looking at it right now in front of me and I'm like, fuck, there's still so much to do, but it's always going to be there. It's going to be there tomorrow as well. So
yeah, I think as an entrepreneur I realize that too, like your to-do list, it never ends.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop ever.
Yeah. So I think it's just like, yeah, those things and like, you know, just creating safe boundaries for yourself and still working out them. And, you know, I studied 3 courses last year at the same fucking time. And they were so epic and I learned so much. So, yeah, balance is a big one too.
Yes, I agree with all of those. I think those were all my lessons as well. Going into the new year, what are, you know, your goals or your intentions, whether it's business or whether it's personal? What are the big things? Like, who's Heidi going to be by December?
Oh, my God. Well, I'm definitely going to be a powerhouse because I love
it. Yes, you are.
And, you know, like it's funny, in one of my programs today, not one that I run but one that I'm in, we had to write our eulogy. It was so fucking crazy. You had to write it from like, and I wrote it from Griffo, my husband's perspective, and like, you know, to see yourself through someone else's eyes and like, you know, because that's one thing, like I stay very humble. Like, I don't like to, you know, be up myself or anything like that. But so that's why when I said the powerhouse, I was like, oh, is that like to up myself?
No way.
Yeah. But I just want to keep like empowering women. I want my business to like be at a certain level. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I would love to be making about 50 grand a month.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm into that.
Yeah, like I like, you know, and it isn't just about money, but I also do enjoy money and I love it. And I want to get back to not caring so much. you know, and put myself like at a place where I can, my business is just smashing it. I'm happy. I'm doing, working with ease. I still get to go to the beach every morning. I get to have all these cuddles with Memphi, and, you know, I just want to make my life easy. And that's my word of the year.
Yes, easy. I love that word. I love it.
Back Sunday morning.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Heidi, for coming on the podcast. I am going to put all of your stuff in the show notes below, but where can people find you?
Do you know what? Pretty much I'm working on my website right now, so don't go to that. Go like find me on Insta or Facebook, so @_HeidiAnderson, where I am on Instagram. If you do go to my website, like I said, it's under construction.
Under construction.
Under construction, but go to Shed Your Shit. That's where I sell one of my self-love programs. And then, yeah, how to PR the shit out of yourself if you want to, if you're in business and you want to work that way, just message me and I'll give you the info, y'all.
Yay! And as I said, I'll leave that all in the show notes below. But thank you so much for today. I appreciate you and your time, and this has been amazing.
Oh, thanks, Jess. And sorry if I waffled, guys, but
I love it. I love it. So much juicy stuff in this episode.
Oh, I love it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jess, you darling heart. I love ya.
Love you. Thank you.